Welcome to the Jampack Report today for June the 25th of 2023. I'm Jampack Sam, and on today's show, we are talking about the FTC's case with Microsoft that will ultimately decide the fate of the Activision Blizzard acquisition, something more than a year in the making. And we've got plenty of big stories to dive into, from crying lion Jim Ryan, definitely doing some lying and definitely doing some crying, all the way to Indiana Jones being an Xbox exclusive, and The Elder Scrolls 6 is very far away. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. On January the 18th of 2022, Microsoft announced their intent to acquire Activision Blizzard for $69 billion, and since that day, we have not stopped talking about it. In courtrooms, on gaming podcasts, on TikTok, on Twitter, whole lot of Twitter conversation, this has been a constant thread of conversation, and we could finally see it come to an end, and I have never been more grateful to see an end to a topic of conversation, because I love talking about games and the legal ongoings between two mega corporations, or more. I suppose you could talk about multiple mega corporations and government bodies. Number one, not my strong suit. Number two, much rather talk about games and the cool experiences that are coming from them. However, we have a lot of news coming out of this week's case between the FTC and Microsoft that is going to decide the future of this case. This is going to pretty much be the nail in the coffin for the deal, or it could be the launchpad they need to get this thing done, get the deal signed, and move on to see what effect it's going to have on the future of Xbox as a brand. And so, starting things off in a multitude of news pieces that we're going to be talking about today, it turns out Jim Ryan over at PlayStation may not have been telling the truth as he's been discussing the Microsoft deal, because they write over at The Verge, Sony's PlayStation chief privately said Microsoft's Activision deal was not about Xbox exclusives, and this is very much so contrary to everything Jim Ryan has been saying. The photo is by Alex Wong. This is Tom Warren over at The Verge, who writes, "We're only minutes into the FTC versus Microsoft hearing, and we've already had a bombshell revelation. Sony's PlayStation chief Jim Ryan believed that Microsoft's proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard wasn't about locking games as Xbox exclusives, according to a newly unsealed email. Microsoft counsel revealed the exchange between Ryan and Chris Deering, former CEO of Sony Computer Entertainment, discussing the announcement of the deal last year. Quote, it's not an exclusivity play at all. They're thinking bigger than that, and they have the cash to make moves like this. I've spent a fair amount of time with both Phil Spencer and Bobby Kotick over the past day, and I'm pretty sure we will continue to see Call of Duty on PlayStation for many years to come." They continue, "This surprise revelation runs counter to Sony's arguments against Microsoft's Activision Blizzard deal and its filings with regulators. Sony has maintained its fears Microsoft could make Call of Duty exclusive to Xbox or even sabotage the PlayStation versions of the game." Ryan went on to say, "We have some good stuff cooking," referring to Sony's Bungie acquisition, which Sony announced just days after the email exchange. "I'm not complacent, and I'd rather this hadn't happened, but we'll be okay. We'll be more than okay." We will be okay. We will be more than okay. That seems like a statement that is directly contrary to the claim that if this deal goes through, it is going to have a disastrous impact on the future of PlayStation, because Jim Ryan has been going on somewhat of a press tour talking about why this deal cannot go through. It is going to be crippling for the future of their platform, and it seems like that is just quite frankly not the case. Now, I say this full knowing that whether it is Matt Booty, whether it is Phil Spencer or Sarah Bond or Jim Ryan or anybody on either side of this case, they are getting paid dinero to defend the company that is giving them the dinero. They are saying these things out of fighting for the company that they work for. It is not personal. However, I'm not a fan of this kind of business practice. I'm surprised, quite frankly, that these claims can be filed in what is effectively a lawsuit, and they are completely unfactual. It is the opposite of what Jim Ryan has been saying. These emails that are coming out are literally the truth of the situation. It is not going to be detrimental to PlayStation. They have a lot of stuff cooking. This is going to be fine. They are going to be okay. And so I think that Jim Ryan's claims are pretty much dead in the water after these emails have come out. This shows very plainly, the PlayStation's perception of this whole deal is that they are going to survive. They are going to, in fact, continue to compete very well. And you can still align with the narrative that Jim Ryan has been sharing, where Microsoft could make some big Xbox exclusivity moves. But the reality is that for Call of Duty, which has been the core of the PlayStation argument, where they say if Call of Duty becomes an Xbox exclusive, how will we survive? What if they make some content exclusive to Xbox, which is exactly what PlayStation already does today? That is all being thrown out. Microsoft has multiple different 10-year deals with multiple different platform holders. Valve said they didn't even need an agreement. Now they are going to be bringing Call of Duty to Nintendo for the first time in multiple years. Those are all net positives. More players are playing more games. That's the reality of the situation. Now, speaking of Call of Duty, another bombshell announcement is that Microsoft claims Activision almost prevented Call of Duty from coming to Xbox. They write over at Dextero, Charlie Intel reported that Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick demanded a greater revenue share to put Call of Duty on Microsoft's platforms. Microsoft's Sarah Bond says Bobby Kotick made it clear if we did not move beyond standard revenue share that he intended to not place Call of Duty on Xbox. Reportedly, Kotick made the demand in 2021 and forced Microsoft to agree to his terms for COD revenue sharing. Bond explained that Microsoft accepted the deal because otherwise there would have been no Call of Duty on Xbox Series X or S. Time was limited. We had players whose expectations we wanted to meet, so we ultimately made a decision that it was the best thing for the business. Charlie Intel reported that the current revenue split appears to be 80-20, which goes against the industry standard of 70-30, and that is 80% going to Activision, 20% going to Xbox. And I think this shows two different things. Number one, it shows that Bobby Kotick, after crunching the numbers and having his team do the math, knows that Call of Duty could still be successful on PlayStation. It would be a huge loss for Xbox, but the majority of Call of Duty players are playing on a PlayStation system, whether that's PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5. And so, if that is the case, pulling the game from Xbox and using that as leverage to get a better deal on that side of the fence is absolutely going to be a move that they would make. It's gross business, as Luke Lohr said over on the Xbox Expansion Pass, but it is business. On top of that, I think this shows Microsoft knows the importance of having Call of Duty. They see how impactful that franchise is for those fans that might pick up a couple of different games a year. Call of Duty and Madden, I've always said, are the two that some players out there just pick up. One sports game, one shooting game, they're good to go. And so Microsoft knows that having Call of Duty is important. The third thing this shows is that Microsoft would be dumb to leave that money on the table. If Bobby Kotick could confidently pull an entire franchise from a platform of the size of Call of Duty and still be able to turn a profit, why would Microsoft not do the same exact move? Why would they pull the game from PlayStation whenever that money could be made? I just don't understand the argument here. Why would Microsoft leave the money on the table? Of course they're going to keep this game multi-platform. Of course they're going to continue supporting this model because it makes sense. In fact, it makes dollars and cents. And so I'm glad this didn't happen, but it just goes to show how wild behind the scenes of the gaming industry really can be. Speaking of exclusive content, Microsoft acquired Bethesda after hearing Starfield would be exclusive to PlayStation. This was a very interesting one that I think we all kind of saw coming, and I think that kind of explains itself the more you read into it. But back over to The Verge with Tom Warren. Microsoft's Xbox chief has revealed one of the key reasons behind the acquisition of Bethesda parent company ZeniMax, potential Starfield PlayStation exclusivity. Speaking at the FTC versus Microsoft hearing today, Phil Spencer revealed that Sony regularly pays competitors to skip our platform, and Microsoft felt it needed to own Bethesda to compete. Quote, when we acquired ZeniMax, one of the impetus for that is that Sony had done a deal for Deathloop and Ghostwire to pay Bethesda to not ship those games on Xbox. So the discussion about Starfield, when we heard that Starfield was potentially also going to end up skipping Xbox, we can't be in a position as a third place console where we fall further behind on our content ownership, so we've had to secure content and remain viable in the business. Microsoft spent $7.5 billion to acquire ZeniMax Media, the parent company of Elder Scrolls and Fallout studio Bethesda Softworks. At the close of the deal, Microsoft promised Xbox and PC exclusives, and it has so far shipped Redfall, with Starfield set for a September 6 debut. And they talk more about Indiana Jones and Elder Scrolls 6. We'll talk about those more in a moment. But This shows that Xbox knows they've got to throw down some money to compete, because if PlayStation is signing these deals to keep games off of their competing platforms, then Xbox has got to make some big moves to offset those offers. If somebody has one big offer, you've got to throw down a bigger one. And if the acquisition was the move that had to be made, then so be it. Now, personally, I think that this Starfield move could potentially mark a turning point for Xbox. I think that this acquisition in particular was potentially even wiser than the Activision Blizzard one, because you have a hardcore section of the gaming community that loves the games that Bethesda puts out. And so bringing those under the Xbox umbrella is going to inherently bring those fans deeper into the Xbox ecosystem, whether that's through buying games on Steam on PC, checking them out via Game Pass, picking up an Xbox console, whatever it might be, even if it is some revenue coming in from Fallout 76 on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. Whatever that looks like, they have a hardcore dedicated fan base. And I think that that is something PlayStation saw, putting those deals out there for Deathloop and Ghostwire, but it's also something that Microsoft recognizes as they're making Starfield an Xbox exclusive. And so as PlayStation has been playing hardball, Xbox has been playing hardball right back, and that's exactly what we see here. Moving away from the gaming talk right now, we'll talk more about Indiana Jones and Elder Scrolls in a bit. Let's move into the tech side of things. Microsoft was working on a separate dedicated version of Xbox Cloud Gaming. Xbox would very much like to do it, said Sarah Bond, head of Xbox Creator Experience, in September 2022, the same month Google announced its Stadia shutdown. Microsoft has now strangely changed its mind amid regulatory concerns over cloud gaming. So what's changed since September 2022? Quote, we've continued to get more data about the success and the popularity of xCloud. We've got more clear on the cost related to it, and we have signed partnerships with others who provide those services, says Bond. This is a key part of the FTC versus Microsoft hearing, as Microsoft has been arguing that Xbox Cloud Gaming is simply a feature and not a dedicated market. If Microsoft was planning to offer access in a similar way to Google Stadia, then that undermines its argument that it's just a feature. But it's clear this was never always going to be just a feature. We believe there is going to be 2 billion gamers in the world, and our goal is to reach every one of them, was the message from Kareem Chowdhury, head of Xbox Cloud Gaming at Microsoft, when the company first started talking about xCloud in 2018. Microsoft has also been suspiciously quiet about the Xbox Cloud Gaming over the past year. The company originally announced a dedicated Xbox streaming device in 2021 before confirming it was making changes to the device in May of 2022. Project Keystone, as Microsoft referred to it internally, was then spotted on Xbox chief Phil Spencer's shelf in October. Spencer told The Verge in November that the device, which was said to be a dedicated Xbox streaming console, was pushed back because of its price, and we can see that right here. So this shows a couple of different things, and they've talked about Xbox Cloud Gaming a little bit during the FTC talk. Of course, it's been a big thread for the CMA specifically, as they talk about the cloud gaming market. And so Sarah Bond confirmed that while the cloud gaming side of the business is generating revenue, it is not turning a profit. And so people are playing games on xCloud, but it is not paying for itself. This is still something that Microsoft is in the hole for. They potentially overestimated the adoption and the player base that would come and flock to Xbox Cloud Gaming. And so right now, to judge an acquisition on the cloud gaming space would be like talking about the future of a child 6 months after it's been born. You can't look at a baby and say, oh yeah, he's going to be a doctor. You know, the industry, or that side of the industry at least, is still so young that you can't define what is going to be a monopoly in a space that doesn't exist. And I think that is the point that Microsoft is trying to make. Now, could they potentially be holding some of these innovations back to help make this deal go through? Yes. At the same time, I could easily see Microsoft pivoting away from the cloud gaming space because of cost, because of different kind of business constraints. As we see the economic turmoil that's going on right now in 2023, they might not want to invest in something that doesn't have a clear return. And so Project Keystone getting out there in a world where internet infrastructure is still starting to come together in different areas around the country and around the world, making that device a 2025 or 2026 strategy could potentially be the right move. And so I think that seeing a dedicated version of cloud gaming on the way is not shocking. We've known that is going to be the case, and we've kind of seen that writing on the wall. But to see that not happening anytime soon is probably a combined child of this FTC and CMA investigation. And on top of that, the fact that it quite frankly doesn't make sense right now. Looking at the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate lineup, cloud gaming is more of an accessory to it. It's like going to Olive Garden and getting free breadsticks. Like, yeah, I came for the pasta. I came for the salad. Breadsticks are nice, though. That's kind of how I've seen it. I don't subscribe to cloud gaming. I subscribe to Game Pass, and I just happen to have cloud gaming with it. And I think that's probably how the majority of players would experience that as well. Now, we also have a reaction from Matt Booty about NVIDIA putting games from Xbox on GeForce Now. This comes from Tom Warren during his live coverage of the trial, where he starts off saying, "No effing way." That was the reaction from Microsoft's Matt Booty to NVIDIA. Excuse me, let me back up. That was the reaction from Xbox's Matt Booty to NVIDIA putting games on GeForce Now without Microsoft's permission. Microsoft was not putting our first-party IP on competing streaming or subscription services. No effing way, in a 2019 email from Booty. He then went on to recommend in a March 2021 email to Xbox chief Phil Spencer that Bethesda's games be pulled from NVIDIA's GeForce Now shortly after the acquisition. "We have pulled all Xbox Game Studios titles from GeForce Now so as not to compete with xCloud," said Booty. "I would recommend that in the absence of any other plans that we do the same for Bethesda titles." Microsoft signed a deal with NVIDIA recently to bring its Xbox PC games to GeForce Now and try to appease regulators like the FTC. Asked why Booty was keen to remove Microsoft's games from GeForce Now previously, he said he was frustrated at NVIDIA. "I was frustrated at the process. We did not have a clear deal in place with NVIDIA for the use of our IP. They were putting games onto our service, in some cases, without our permission." So this is something that shows what I believe that was covered in the news a few years ago. But NVIDIA was basically fleshing out their service and leveraging the fact that people already had these games in their libraries, allowing them to play them through GeForce Now without consulting Microsoft first. And so obviously with IP laws and restrictions, that's not the right thing to do. And it seems like while some people could take this and make this into a cloud gaming exclusivity agreement, leveraging Matt Booty's words against Microsoft, the reality of the situation is this is probably something that they shouldn't have been doing to begin with, specifically in regards to GeForce and NVIDIA. They can't leverage other people's IP without consulting the people who own that IP. It just makes sense. Now, IP is something Xbox is going to have a significant amount of. Specifically, they're going to be getting some of it from Bethesda with the Indiana Jones game coming, and it will now be exclusive to Xbox and PC. This comes from Wesley LeBlanc over at Game Informer, who writes, "Bethesda's Indiana Jones game, which is currently being developed by Wolfenstein developer Machine Games, will be exclusive to Xbox." This news comes from an ongoing court trial between the Federal Trade Commission and Xbox and Activision Blizzard, which Microsoft is trying to acquire, happening today, which is where Bethesda's head of publishing Pete Hines revealed the game will be a console exclusive on Xbox, as reported by IGN. Like Xbox's other first-party releases, Machine Games' Indiana Jones game will also come to PC. However, Hines also revealed that Disney and Bethesda parent company ZeniMax originally signed an agreement that this Indiana Jones game would be multi-platform, meaning it would also likely release on PlayStation. Hines says after Microsoft acquired ZeniMax in 2020, the agreement with Disney was amended to transition the Indiana Jones game away from a multi-platform release and instead into one that will release exclusively on Xbox and PC. Today's court trial also revealed that Xbox head Phil Spencer told Hines that Bethesda should look at a title exclusivity on a case-by-case basis, IGN reports. As for why Indiana Jones was transitioned into an exclusive, Hines cited reducing risk and trying to get a degree of clarity. "You're dealing with a licensor who is giving a ton of feedback on what you're making. It's going to add a ton of time to your scheduling. These agreements, you don't get to take as long as you want. You have a window of time in which you're going to release a game. You immediately have a clock that's ticking on you," Hines said, according to IGN. Bethesda revealed Machine Games' Indiana Jones game back in 2021 with a short teaser trailer, and that was the last we've seen of it. However, Bethesda's Todd Howard says he first pitched this Indiana Jones game way back in 2009, and there is still no release window for the game today. This goes back to some of the conversation we've seen around Starfield as well. where they talked about pulling the game from PlayStation 5 and the fact that it streamlines development and Starfield would not be releasing in fall of 2023 if it was also coming to PlayStation 5, because that's an entirely different ecosystem you've got to build the game out for and maintain parity between these two different consoles. And so it seems like the Indiana Jones game is also going to be subject to that. I guess any game is really subject to that, but they are specifically focusing on delivering quality, making something that meets these expectations for Disney as well as this partner that has a specific timeline in place for that, and developing on one specific type of system. Of course, PC and Xbox kind of go hand in hand because a lot of games run on Windows, the architecture, etc., etc. That makes sense. It streamlines the development of that. But also, people have been talking about, oh, what is PlayStation going to do without Indiana Jones? It's going to be Xbox and PC exclusive. Put out an Uncharted. Put Naughty Dog back on that train. Uncharted, in my opinion, potentially better than Indiana Jones. I'm just saying. But depending on what this Indiana Jones game looks like, that could be how Xbox competes with a big third-person open world adventure game style setup like Uncharted delivers. So now we have the confirmation Indiana Jones will be exclusive to Xbox and PC. Now on to another big one. The Elder Scrolls 6 is likely 5+ years away, according to Phil Spencer, which very well could make this a next generation game, because another tidbit that's come out of these FTC talks is that they expect the next console generation to start in 2028, which could mean that The Elder Scrolls 6 could be a cross-generational game with whatever Xbox has coming after the Xbox Series X and S. Phil Spencer says, I think we've been a little unclear on what platforms it will launch on, given how far out the game is. It's difficult for us right now to nail down exactly what platforms that game will launch on. As I said with Elder Scrolls 6, it's so far out it's hard to understand what the platforms will even be at this point. It's the same team that's finishing Starfield, which comes out this September, so we're talking about it likely being 5+ years away. No shockers there. I think that we all knew as soon as Elder Scrolls popped up on the screen that game was not coming out anytime soon. And I'm not going to pretend like I know what happens behind the scenes at Xbox Game Studios as they're working on all of their titles, but specifically with Bethesda Game Studios, I would imagine that Starfield is currently the focus. They're getting that game to the finish line, and then they'll have a content team working on expansions, but a portion of the team could be 60%, could be 10%, I don't know how that split works. They will start hardcore work on The Elder Scrolls 6 to start polishing that one up. And it'll be interesting to see if Todd Howard sticks around for the future of Elder Scrolls after 6 drops. I know there has been a little bit of talk. He's dropped a couple of hints about potentially retiring. Not soon, but in the future, you know, as we're looking at how long these games take to make, if Starfield was a, let's just say, 10-year development cycle, and these games can often take up to that these days, could be a while. So, you know, we'll see what the future looks like with Todd at the helm. But The Elder Scrolls 6, still not confirmed to be an Xbox exclusive. They don't really know. Still all coming together. It's such a nebulous, far-out concept to begin with that I think that it's understandable they don't have definitive plans in place. Now, all of these titles, all of these topics, all of this news coverage all comes together right now. Microsoft has admitted Xbox has lost the console wars as it battles for its $69 billion Activision Blizzard buyout. This comes from Rebecca Valentine over at IGN, who writes, in its proposing findings of fact submitted on the first day of Microsoft's court battle with the FTC, they said that Xbox has lost the console wars. They write, Xbox's console has consistently ranked third of three behind PlayStation and Nintendo in sales. In 2021, Xbox had a share of 16%, while Nintendo and PlayStation had shares of redacted and redacted, respectively. Likewise, for console revenues and share of consoles currently in use by gamers' install base, Xbox trails with 21%, while PlayStation and Nintendo have shares of redacted and redacted, respectively. So, to pull out the key tidbits, Xbox has a share of 16% of the console space, and Xbox console revenues and share of consoles currently in use by gamers, Xbox trails with 21%. So you're looking at an open field of 84% between Nintendo and PlayStation, and that would be 79% between PlayStation and Nintendo. So no matter what metric you're looking at, Xbox has a fraction of that space. Microsoft goes on to argue that as a result, it is betting on a different strategy by generating profit through game sales rather than console sales and selling its consoles at a loss, effectively subsidizing gamers' purchase of the new hardware in hopes of making up the revenue through sales of games and accessories. So that shows their strategy. That shows how far behind Microsoft really is in the grand scheme of things. But it's also baffling to see Microsoft publicly admit Xbox has lost the console wars. I'm talking about literally lost the console wars is a statement made in a legal document that the FTC is reviewing right now. There are a team of lawyers looking at something that includes talk about the console wars. 12-year-old me is losing his mind right now because this is all that I talked about back in the day. Whenever we're sitting around the lunchroom at the table in middle school talking about Xbox versus PlayStation, literally losing friendships over this kind of stuff. We now have it validated on the grand scheme, on the big scale, on the stage. So wild stuff to see here. Have they really lost, though? No. When you take Xbox out of the direct comparison between PlayStation and Nintendo, they are still doing well for Microsoft as a company. As a single entity, they're doing well, and actually they're doing better now than they were during the Xbox 360 generation. That's something that Phil Spencer said a couple of weeks back, where they are actually healthier than they were back then. They have more revenue coming in than they did, probably through growth of the gaming community, but also growth of adoption. More people are playing more games now, and Xbox has a more robust lineup of first-party games and of third-party support. And Game Pass, of course, has come into the mix as well. That makes it a much more appealing offer for a lot of people like myself when you're comparing it to PlayStation and Nintendo. So Xbox is not losing. This does not mean that they're going to be going anywhere or shutting down. This is just showing how far behind they are when compared to PlayStation and Nintendo. But there you have it. That's some of the biggest news coming out of this FTC versus Microsoft case. And this week is going to decide the future of this deal. Will Microsoft have to drop it, or will they continue to push forward and figure out how to work around the CMA, potentially even cutting out some of their work in the UK and moving around, maybe not including Call of Duty on Game Pass in that specific region? Who knows what that could look like? But we are living in a very interesting time, and in 10, 20 years, we're going to be watching documentaries around this. Obviously, I'll be watching documentaries because I'm a nerd, but very interesting week in the world of gaming. Now, I will say I'll have an additional episode of this show dropping in a couple of days talking about some of the other news that came out this week. I wanted to keep things brief, keep things on topic, but we've got to talk about Xbox's price increase for consoles as well as Game Pass. So keep an eye out in the days ahead for that. But until then, you guys have a fantastic week, and as always, keep on playing.